these are all veterans here. We can have an advanced class. As soon as I start, then five new guests come in the room. You know, I have to really shift gears. And
oh, don't try and accommodate last common denominator. Go for the top one.
Oh, really? You sure, Grant? Are you sure? All right, we'll throw something at you, and then if new people come, we'll drop back. Do we need some air in here? Is this...
Is it wood notes? You mean hot or cold?
No, it's a little stuffy, or is it not? It's okay? Everyone's okay? I'm just curious. Honey. We're going to consider a difficult subject tonight. It's not on the board here. Okay, we'll start off with the invocation. Janapsalakaya Chakshun Militan Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishta Stapitan Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swaparantikam Vandeyam Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakangalam Sri Guru Vaishnavanshta Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Kamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Param Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Welcome everyone. Anyone here for the first time? See, I think I know everyone's name except yours. David. All right. Shall we discuss what's on the board, or should we do something else? I think. Okay, I've got it. We'll start off with what's on the board, and then we'll put a twist on it at the end. Please turn to page 373. We're going to be discussing our two natures. Everybody likes to think of themselves, first of all. Everyone is always fascinated by their own nature. But if we're going to make any progress in life, we have to understand we have two natures. Generally, if there are many new people here, I would start off asking everyone, what do you think your two natures are? But since we have an audience of adepts, we'll just get right to the heart of the matter. If you're going to understand what's going on in your life, you have to realize that there are two natures you're trying to cope with. The spiritual nature and the material nature. Now, if anyone here is from a Christian background, you may remember that in the Bible, Jesus is to have said, no man can serve two masters. Or, in another way, you cannot serve both God and mammon. So, okay, people hear that, but they really don't know how to apply that because they don't understand what they are. Therefore, they hear these things that, you know, you can't serve two masters, you can't serve both God and mammon, but they really don't know how to analytically interpret that into action because they don't understand their natures. Now let's also consider things from another angle. Why is it that we feel a sense of struggle in life? Any intelligent person will acknowledge that I'm always trying to get things that are eluding my grasp. Or even if I do get the things in my grasp, they're gone. They leave my grasp. There's always striving. Nothing seems to just come naturally. You've got to endeavor for everything. Even a rich man has to endeavor for happiness. It's not that people are just laying on the ground waiting for happiness to come. No, they're pushing ahead. They're achieving. They're acquiring. Now, from the Vedic point of view, this is struggle. A lot of people have a hard time seeing that. What do you mean? I'm not struggling. I'm just, you know, living. So it takes a real breakthrough for people to understand, no, this is a struggle. Why is it a struggle? Because there is some lack in you. And because of that lack in you, you're trying to get things to kind of fill the hole in your existence. Now, people can't see it in that way. They say, oh, come on, what do you mean? I'm just living, being practical, doing what I got to do, you know? Just taking one day at a time. They cannot analyze their life and see the struggle because they have not been equipped with the necessary analytical tools to perceive what's really going on in their life. So that's what we're trying to do here at the Loft. We're trying to give people the analytical tools so they can see what's actually going on, what they're doing. The problem is that society has not taught them this. In fact, society will do everything except this. So you have people basically like cats chasing their own tails. And they feel quite content about that. So it's a real big task to get people to see they're struggling. They just think, well, you know, I'm just living my life according mostly to my options. Yeah, sometimes I gotta do what other people want, but generally I'm doing what I choose and trying to expand my creative abilities, trying to expand my options. But to get people to understand that they are shackled by a particular body and a particular mentality from birth, very difficult. What to speak of getting them to understand that the particular body and mind they have is dependent on their past life. Basically, you're dealing with a bunch of children. Just if you study children playing, it's like the past couple of days I've been seeing Ame's children playing. So They just have no concern about the future. Everything is of the moment. You know, they're, those of you who have children, you know this. They, one minute they're laughing, next minute they're crying. Just the immediate things. But how are adults any different? Simply adults, they deal with things, instead of 10 minutes in the future, they deal with things 10 years in the future. That's the only difference. But the same propensity of being buffeted by happiness and distress is there in the life of the adult as well as in the child. Now, you cannot get a child to think about serious consequences. Just like if you say to a 5-year-old kid, you have to go to school soon because you need to get a good job. Has anyone tried telling their 5-year-old, 6-year-old kid that? You need to go to school. You're going to go to school and be thinking about your career. You're going to have to get a job soon. And the 6-year-old kid just, you know, they just see school as an opportunity to do something with kids their own age, and when you're in kindergarten, you like that. Of course, when you get to the first grade, they start giving you tests, and then you start to realize you're supposed to perform. They still do that. We could test the first graders, or now it's out. We are just like children in that we don't care really about the whole import of our life. We just don't care. We're just playing with our toys. You know, you see the little boys with their trucks and the girls with their dolls. Some of the adults, you know, they have their boats and cars and things like that. Their gadgets. What is the difference? There's no difference between the children and the adults, because neither can take seriously the whole thrust of their life. We're just all like, oh, that's what you think? Oh, whatever. Yeah, sometimes I think that, other days I don't think that. You know. So you've got all these adults scurrying around taking themselves so seriously. What will happen to the world? What will happen to the economy? What will happen, you know, will the government be able to stay together? Will there be another election soon? But they're just like little children playing. When it comes to the real issues of life, they don't think about it. Just like try saying to a 6-year-old kid, I want you to think about your job that you're going to be getting. Similarly, try saying to an adult, I want you to think about your next life, what kind of body you'll get next. You get the same reaction. You know, they won't even laugh. Their brains can't accommodate it. Next life? I can't think about that. Yeah. Even if they admit there might be possibility of that, they don't want to think about it. They can't think about it. You notice that? Those of you who are regulars here, by now you should notice, they can't think about it. They don't have the analytical tools to think straight. Therefore, so many times their engines like seize up. You know, like when you don't put oil in the engine, you know, it just, and you're driving along merrily, and all of a sudden, you know, it just seizes up. Hopefully, that's not happened to anyone here, has it? Oh. That's the way people's brains are working these days. They just seize up when you try to get them to consider their life seriously. If you say to somebody, consider your whole life from birth to death, what's the point of it? Where are you going? They just... They look at you like, well, you know, that's some kind of weird question. Or, you know, I'm glad you have the luxury to think about those things, but for us practical people, you know, we're just... You know, doing what we have to do to live a life. So our point is that we're not dealing with a society or culture which allows the demonstration of real intelligence. You're dealing with children. And it requires a great effort for these adult children to confront themselves. Try to get a child to confront herself or himself. Try it. You ever take a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old kid? I really want you to think about yourself, what you're doing. The kid doesn't really think about it. He's just responding to your seriousness. Oh, maybe I did something wrong. So the kid just looks at you with wide eyes. I really want you to think about yourself and get a grip on yourself, understand what you're doing. Yeah, the kid just... All the kid knows is by you looking at him that solemnly, you're disturbing his sense gratification. He's thinking, oh boy, as long as you're looking like that, that means I'm probably going to be punished, I can't do what I want, I'm going to have to stay in my room for the rest of the day. That's what that look means. But it doesn't mean the kid's thinking, oh, I'm checking myself out, what am I about? I mean, what's the nature of my existence? They're not doing that. Similarly, the adults, they're the same way. And this is the tragedy that we're coping with. So our whole place here is meant to try to wake the brains up and give the brains the analytical tools necessary to be a responsible person. And it's a hard job, very hard job. So generally when we're starting to talk about natures and people's natures, you're going to have to listen to a whole lot of speculation. Oh, my nature is this and my nature is that. So if we had a lot of newcomers here, we would deal with it. What do you think is your nature? Tell us about your nature. But since we have an audience tonight of regulars, we'll just cut right to the chase. When you talk about your nature, you have to discriminate. Are you talking about your material nature or your spiritual nature? What is the material nature? The body and the mind. What is the spiritual nature? That is the real you, the spirit soul. Now, where does the struggle come in? You see, if you can understand that you have two natures, then you'll see why there's a struggle. There's an antithesis, or two things that are, you have, you're dealing with opposites, matter and spirit. They are incompatible. So that's why you feel this sense of out of whackness and disharmony in your life, which you can never quite get your fingers on completely. So your whole life is kind of like a struggle, trying to find balance, trying to just get ends to meet. But all your life, what's really going on? It's just this, this, this. Sometimes you think, oh, the ends have met, but then sooner or later, things buckle. So this is what frustrates you. All your life, you're trying to make things meet, and it's always like this, this, and only the illusion of coming together. The illusion of things coming together is so powerful that even after that illusion breaks down, still you don't want to admit that things are actually like that. You still want to hold on. Oh, they're still together. It's going on okay. You're desperately clinging. This is a struggle. You're struggling not only to maintain your body physically, but you're struggling to find fulfillment and satisfaction. You're struggling to be liked. You're struggling to feel worthwhile and meaningful. Everyone wants to feel meaningful. If you don't feel meaningful, then what do? Have you ever not felt meaningful? You want to feel your life has meaning, worthwhile meaning.
I don't know what it is. I hope there is one.
Have you ever felt like you were just devoid of any meaning to your life?
Sure, I have. Yeah, at some point.
And then what did you do?
Nothing. Did you? I sat there and go, oh, no. Huh? No point. I didn't do anything about it.
So? But then did you just sit there forever, or what?
No, I suppose I got up and ended my...
And then did what? Tried to find some meaning, right?
Yeah.
You turned down some of your music and tried to get meaning. What's that song you told me about the last time?
Danzig.
What's the, what are the words?
Oh, no, it was negative.
This is where the meaning comes from, yeah. Mega death.
No, the man too, but they're not for anything.
So what, what's the, what are the, what are the...
Oh, he said, I don't remember where it was, but I realized that was again. Is that it?
Yeah. What were these significant words you were telling me?
He just said it so nicely.
What?
I had no idea. That's it.
Hmm? Say the whole thing. She felt this was very profound.
No. He just got such a lovely voice.
Huh?
Don't remember where I was, but I realized life is a game.
I don't know where I was.
But yeah.
When I realized
life is a game.
Life was a game. Okay, yeah. What else?
There's another bit then. I had no idea. That's completely gone from my head. Hang on. I had no idea. It's been awesome to listen to it. I had no idea. Something that was planned, that was life is gone from my plans.
So when you felt there was no meaning in your life, you would put on Megadeth or something, and they would fill you with meaning, right? Or you would get meaning realizing that other people also had no meaning, right? So that would become your meaning, that none of us have meaning.
Yeah.
Anyone else ever felt that their life, that they just, that their own life had no meaning? Yes?
Yeah, it was pretty hellish.
So what were the circumstances?
I just didn't have any sort of goal or focus at all. I sort of didn't know where I was going, didn't know what I was here for, sort of didn't really see any light sort of on the horizon, so to speak. Yeah.
So does that mean you stopped doing anything?
I was still active, yeah.
Huh?
I was still active, yeah.
So then, why were you active?
I had to do something. I couldn't just be inactive. It wasn't possible. I mean, that was the trouble, is that I knew I still had to act, but I didn't know sort of how to act or what to do, so I sort of continued with sort of the mundane sort of things, but yeah, still wasn't feeling quite fulfilled.
So you had no meaning, but still you acted. That means you were hoping that these actions would provide some meaning, right?
Yeah, I think they ended up working for Greenpeace. That's the final thing. I wanted to do something worthwhile doing, and so the best thing I could come up with was Greenpeace.
Anyone else ever felt that it had no meaning? So what did you do?
Try to do everything, I guess, to try and
find some meaning, huh?
Yeah.
Now, can't you understand that that's a struggle?
Yeah.
Now you do. Did you understand then?
No.
You just thought it was part of life, just being, right?
Yeah. Like, but it felt like I was fighting myself. It was not like nothing. There's no result, sort of thing. There's sort of fulfillment.
Like treading water or something? You know what treading water is?
Yeah. It's sort of empty.
So how did you solve this emptiness? What would you do?
I guess I just sort of do stuff that I thought was like beneficial and good for myself.
Like what?
Anything from like going for a walk or just looking after my health or just seeing my friends or doing something like that.
And then after, then you would get meaning?
Well, it sort of started to, well, I guess so, a little bit.
At least you had something to do, right?
Yeah.
Anyone else? David, do you ever feel like there's no meaning? Or you're always a meaning man?
No, for years, no meaning.
Ah.
No, definitely. seen that any material advancement doesn't satisfy at all. And I certainly got through a lot of esoteric type literature, trying to find some sort of meaning, and practice a bit of Hatha yoga, different things like that, and finding for me just the SSR, sort of put me on track, and I went to the temple. So I've always found that something missing.
Ron, any meaningless moments? Or?
Many of them, yes. What I tend to do is distract my mind, because the question of meaning to me is a mental thing.
So you trap your mind?
Distracted. By doing something. And then the mind doesn't think. Hardest thing is to stop and to go with it. And try and work out what questions it's asking.
So you didn't want to do that at the time?
It's a lot easier to be active rather than to think.
Yes. We can all do that. Therefore, you understand my comparison with children. You know? Yeah. Children are expert at distracting themselves. I just watched them the past few days. They can just play in any situation.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you going to do now? I'm going to play. Like, this is a real definitive goal. You know, I'm going to play. And then what's the difference between this and an adult? The adults are the same way. What are you going to do now? It's just the adults can be specific. I'm going to go surfing, or I'm going to go this or that, or I'm going to the pub, or... But it's the same thing. I'm going to distract myself. So basically, that's what the child's saying. I'm going to distract myself. I have to do something. Children can't sit still, generally. They have to do something. Of course, even in children, you can recognize they're doing things to get some kind of meaning. They're expressing themselves in the only way they know. So the adults are the same way. So in order to understand just the beginning of spiritual life, we have to accept that we're struggling, but people cannot see that. They can't get a grip on their whole life. They can only just see selected frames of the film of their whole life. They can't just get a grip on the whole, what do you call it, spool, or the whole, what do you call it, Grant? The whole film is called a... Reel. They can't get their hands on the whole reel, you know? It's only selected frames. It's like, what's impeding them from just getting their hands on the whole film can of their life? It's actually, it's quite traumatic for them to do that. Why is that? Because that's the nature of society today. It prevents people from getting a grip on their whole lifespan. And it convinces you you've got better things to do than do that. And you're still a respectable, wholesome person. The whole point of that kind of training of the people is simply that they are clones in a consumer society. You ever watch on Broadway sometimes here, the people going shopping? Especially, of course, we don't mean to be discriminating against any particular gender, but nevertheless, you watch the ladies. You ever watch the ladies on the street? They're actually shopping in order to fulfill themselves.
My daughter calls it retail therapy.
Retail therapy. Really? How old is she?
19.
Do you have to pay for that therapy?
Contribute to it.
Retail therapy. So, that is accept this constructive behavior. But to actually stop and try to think of your whole life, what is the purpose of this thing that goes from birth to death? They can't do that. Yet, the society they live in encourages them to think very valuably of themselves if they can just picture, I'm going to go to the university for 3 years, I'm going to go to Polytech for 3 years. Then that's considered very powerful goal setting, very productive. But to say, I'm going to try to figure out my whole life from birth to death, what's the point of it? Are you crazy? I want to be practical. Get a grip on yourself. Get into it. I mean, you don't have time to be thinking that way. If you say, I'm going to just concentrate on 3 years at the Polytech or 3 years at the university. Oh, you're a very, very thoughtful person. A deep thinker. Or the way relationships work these days. Young man meets young lady. They live together for a few years. The lady becomes pregnant. And then they start thinking, should we be engaged? Everyone says, oh, this is good. You're really thinking about your relationship. You're really doing well and making some serious decisions. It's like that. I've met so many couples like that. They live together, then there's a child, and then they say, well, now we're engaged and we're thinking about marrying. And everyone says, you're going about life properly. I mean, being careful about serious decisions. So I just want you to get an understanding of what we're up against and why people's brains are so dull. And of course, we are all coming out of this kind of society. Just like for me. Katrina's here, she's been doing her exams. So I told her, you're taking all that so seriously, but why don't you apply that same seriousness to your whole lifespan? Of course, well, I have to please mom and dad, and I just want to do this for them. But what if you say to mom and dad, I really want to come to grips with the examination of life? Well, daughter, I mean, let's not get too far-fetched here. Let's just deal with the real issues. That's what it is. So I hope you can grasp now how deep this problem is. Our brains have been effectively destroyed so that we cannot think about ourselves. Yet we masquerade as being intelligent. And this is why people have a hard time with Bhagavad Gita, because it's making them think, and they really don't want to think. What do you have to say about that?
I suppose they're really think about that so much. People don't want to think. But when you mention it, you can tell that people just don't have time for it. Seriously.
Just like you're going to some kind of preliminary university, or you were, stop that now.
Yeah.
Or you were, right?
Yep.
So did they ever say, David, we are going to prepare you to just figure out what you're supposed to be doing from birth to death. What's the point of that whole spot of life known as you? No. What did they tell you?
Not much, really. Just are you paying attention, sort of thing? This is important stuff.
Yeah. And you're supposed to pay attention because they're going to give you the skills so that you can go to the uni, right?
Yeah.
We're going to give you learning skills. Necessary learning skills for the uni.
Yeah.
Of course, for most people, why do they go to the uni? Because they feel it's the gateway to economic development. You get a few people there who think we want to really learn and know something. There's definitely that percentage. But the vast majority, we have to go to uni because that's the way you get a good job. What do you think?
Yeah, I know a lot of people think like that.
your parents tell you, we wish you would go to the uni so that you could understand life?
Your mom wants me to.
For what? For that reason?
Oh, no.
What's the reason?
Because she thinks that I'm going to live her life and it's not going to be great.
So what does the degree do for you?
She just thinks that if I'm good enough, that I have something. And so I have to rely on anyone else, I guess.
You get a degree, you don't have to rely on anyone else, really?
That's
what do you do after you get the degree? Anyone here have a degree? Do you know what you do after you get one? No, most of them don't do that. Right, you start knocking on doors, like a little dog. You knock, please employ me. You wag your tail, just see, please, I can move my tail this way and that way. Please give me a job. So you're definitely not your own person. You have to sell yourself. Make a resume, a CV, all that kind of stuff. Advertise yourself. Go preen before a potential employer. Hi, my name is Katrina. Yes. Oh, I've studied that. Oh, yeah. I'm sure that I will add to your company. Oh, yeah, I've done that before. Oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, I definitely have those skills. So. Will I give my life to your company? Of course. That's what you have to do. So how is it that you're going to become your own person? Just because you have a degree.
She just thinks that if I have a job, I don't have to rely on someone else to give me money. You know, it's easier to get a job if you have a degree. You know?
Everyone's thinking like that. Therefore, they go into the universities in greater numbers than before. Just like Ame's husband was telling me that when he was in high school here in New Zealand. There, maybe 40 people went beyond the fifth form into the seventh form. Is that the last one, the seventh form? Sixth. Into the sixth form. Only 40 people in the whole school would go that far. Now, he's at like 400. Most people will, because everyone's feeling, I got to try to go to the uni, otherwise I won't get a good job. Whether you're a scholar or not, you just got to go to the uni. It's just economic achievement. Whereas some years ago, maybe 14 years ago or something, there was no economic necessity. So this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people who cannot think about their whole life. And this is a great tragedy. They can't think, okay, I was born at such and such a time. If I live a complete life, I'll die at such and such a time. What's the point of it all? What's the purpose? What's my goal? They cannot think like that. And, as we said, they can't see how they're struggling. So what's the basis of the struggle? We are spirit absorbed in matter. That is the source of the problem. That is the source of the feelings of insufficiency and lack of ends meeting. There's a basic incompatibility. But we blame it on everything else except that. We blame it on other persons. Oh, my, I didn't have a good family upbringing, or my partner is, is not treating me right anymore, or the world's not treating me right, or I didn't learn enough in school, or I learned too much in school, or I don't have enough money, or I don't know how it goes. We can't see the real problem, the real rub, is that there's a basic incompatibility of spirit within the material realm. Now that is why the Bible says you can't serve both God and mammon. No man can serve two masters. But that's a very simple way of saying that. So people today, they really can't put that into action, because they don't have the analytical tools, and they certainly don't have the examples. So all they're left with is these platitudes bouncing around in their heads. You can't serve God and mammon. No man can serve two masters. But what do you do with all that? They don't know. They can't see the struggle based on the overwhelming incompatibility. As soon as you start fingering the incompatibility, then things start to click. Then you really say, what am I doing? What's the point of this? There is a basic incompatibility. Matter in the spirit in the material atmosphere. How can it be resolved? So first we'll read the verse and purport, then we'll discuss how this incompatibility can be resolved. So does anyone have any questions about the incompatibility? Katrina, you have any questions about incompatibility? Huh? You understand it? Okay. So we'll look at page 373. I'll read the Sanskrit. Etad yonini bhutani sarvani upadharaya aham krishnasya jagata prabhava pralayastata. So, Ame, you read the translation in purport.
All created beings have their source in these two natures. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. Everything that exists...
Purport.
Everything that exists is a product of matter and spirit. Spirit is the basic field of creation, and matter is created by spirit. Spirit is not created at a certain stage of material development. Rather, this material world is manifested only on the basis of spiritual energy. This material body is developed because spirit is within... is present within matter. A child grows gradually to boyhood and then to manhood because that superior energy, spirit soul, is present. Similarly, the entire cosmic manifestation of the gigantic universe is developed because of the presence of the super soul, Vishnu. Therefore, spirit and matter, which combine to manifest this gigantic universal form, are originally two energies of the Lord, and consequently the Lord is the original cause of everything. A fragmental part and parcel of the Lord, namely the living entity, may be the cause of a big skyscraper, a big factory, or even a big city, but he cannot be the cause of a big universe. The cause of the big universe is the big soul, or the super soul, and Krishna, the Supreme, is the cause of both the big and small souls. Therefore, he is the original cause of all causes. This is confirmed in the Katha Upanishad, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitanam.
So any questions about that? Krishna is saying, all created beings have their source in these two natures. So you've got to analyze your life in terms of those two natures, and it'll start to make sense. So, how, Katrina, how would you analyze your life in terms of those two natures?
I don't know much about my spiritual nature.
Okay, so but still, go on.
Okay, my material nature, I think I'm pretty
insane. Why is that? That's your material nature.
Yes, very much.
Any others? Huh?
And I can't really pay attention to one of them, so I always get to start my furrows. But I can never be nice to both of them. I think that's a favourite for each other. And so that's the other.
Well, actually, everything in this world is like that. Who do you think is different from that? No. But give me an example of some sharing in a material way, so that everybody is benefited. Who can give me an example of materially sharing so that everybody is benefited? As soon as you're operating with material bodies and trying to satisfy material bodies, that means someone's always cut out, because the material energy is limited. That's why there's always resource fights, because you're dealing with an energy of limitation. But as soon as you deal with the spirit, the energy is unlimitation. So once again, we're getting back to our basic problem of compatibility. Unlimited potential soul is there. Material limitation. You're trapped inside a body of time. And all time. You're having a head-upper experience. So that's the same as having a human experience. She's having a black over experience. Human experience is not the foundation. It's the corollary. It's the relative reality. The actual foundation is the spirit soul. You weren't always having a human experience. You weren't always in the human body. So how can the human have what is it, the second way?
Human having a soulful experience.
How can a human have a soulful experience? That's like saying, this shirt, it's having a spiritual experience. You say, well, that's crazy. you're just wearing that shirt. Similarly, how can you say the human has a spiritual experience? The human means this body. Now, you weren't always a human. So once again, we have to understand the foundation. Yes, we have two natures in the material world. We have the spiritual nature and the material nature, but the foundation is the spiritual nature. But you said a very important thing. Everybody is bewildered in thinking that the material energy is the foundation. And then sometimes the material energy has some spiritual experiences. It's nuts. What do you think, Natasha? It's nuts, isn't it? To think you're a matter that sometimes has spiritual experiences, isn't that crazy? How is it not? How is it not crazy?
It's crazy.
Really? You really think that?
That it's crazy that a material body should have a spiritual experience.
Right.
Well, actually, no, I don't think that's crazy completely, because isn't that where we sort of... Isn't that why we come here?
Why what comes here?
Why we come here too?
What is we?
Math.
Oh, make up your mind. Yeah, you're schizophrenic.
Isn't that kind of why we come here to get more?
But what comes here? A bag of chemicals comes here?
No, but like we're still decomposed of matter.
Huh?
We're still decomposed of matter.
You are?
I am.
So, okay. So, will you mind if we take you into the... What was that thing he was using to grind? Can we put you in the grinder? What did he have in there? Spices? Can we put you in the spice grinder? It's just... What's the difference between you and the spices? It's just matter. Why can't we put you in the dishwashing machine?
Because
Why not? What's the difference? It's just matter. Why are you protesting? Some matter manifests as dishes, other matter manifests as spices, other matter manifests as whoever you are. What's the difference? It doesn't matter, it's just matter. You quit, you know, deviating from your philosophy. You're just matter. Why should anything matter? You understand what you're saying. How does matter have to do with what's the we? How many times have you been here? You ought to be able to answer that question. What's the we? Talking about we as spirit soul, then you can understand how there can be material experiences. How is that? The spirit soul is misidentifying with matter. Got that far. So you understand at this point. This is something you and so many people refuse to do. We were just talking about this before you came. Cannot get their hands on what's actually going on in life. Oh, from birth to death, just space, just, you know, just can't cope and feel no need to cope because society is not training you or rewarding you for coming to grips with your life. In fact, society rewards you for doing everything except coming to grips with your life. Suppose, you know, you tell people, they ask you, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to the uni, or I'm searching for another job, or I'm traveling overseas. Oh, very nice, very nice, very nice. Well, suppose you say, I'm trying to come to grips with whether I am matter or spirit. It's just because, you know, you're nuts or something? No, really, come on, what are you doing? What are you doing? You should try it at school. Just when everyone asks you, what are you doing? Just, I'm trying to come to grips with whether I'm matter or spirit. I think you're weird, won't they? Won't they? Come on, it's us, it's party time! Let's listen to Megadeth. Right? Tell that to your next boyfriend, huh?
Natasha, what are you doing? What's been up?
Oh, I'm just trying to understand my matter or spirit. Natasha, come on. Let's go over to my house. You'll make it all this stuff. Right? Tell me about it in my room. Right? Huh?
You make it so people start a new cult.
So you see the point. If we are spirit, then we can understand how we're having material experiences. It's a mistake. But if we think I am matter, there's just no point in talking about spiritual experiences. It doesn't matter. You're just the same as this light bulb, as the floor. But then why do you protest if we treat you like matter? Oh, you get very angry. Right? People say that. You're not treating me right.
Yeah, but like, I mean, if you dump a cat in the washing machine, it would glue as well.
Yeah, but it's just matter, according to you.
Yeah, but I mean...
So who cares that matter is squealing? Let's be real materialists. Let's really, you know, come to grips with what we're with our philosophy here. The cat or you. It's just matter, you understand? Right? Isn't that what you say? Crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You say you're just matter, then why should anything matter? Some matter is more important than other matter, huh? I thought you were a quick getaway there. I got to be better than that. I was like, I think I'm just on a different plane. I was like, good one. You try that one on the boys. I'm sorry, I'm on a different plane tonight. So seriously. Unless we understand we are spirit soul, we cannot understand our two natures. It's not a question of, well, am I matter having a spiritual experience or spirit soul having a material experience? Matter does not experience. Now, this is bringing us to a bigger point, which you probably overlooked in this purport. The first two lines say, everything that exists is a product of matter and spirit. Spirit is the basic field of creation, and matter is created by spirit. Spirit is not created at a certain stage of material development. Rather, this material world is manifested only on the basis of spiritual energy. So the actual field of creation and development and expansion, that's the spiritual energy. But we don't see it that way. We think matter is the arena of creative expression. That's nuts. That is the insanity. We think matter is the world of opportunity. We've completely forgotten the unlimited glories of the spirit soul. Now, you can see why even when people talk about spirituality and spiritual, they never get into first gear because they have not understood in a practical way how the material energy is not the field of creative expression. How can matter be the field of creative expression? Of course, then you've got to deal with your scientists who try to convince you that matter is everything. What you end up doing then is deifying matter. You empower matter with all sorts of inconceivable supernatural attributes while rejecting that there's a supreme origin, supreme controller. You end up paying your, you know, offering your prayers to matter. So this is a very profound point we can all think about. I'm mistaking the material field or the material agenda or arena as my actual field of expression and creativity. But the platform of the spirit soul, that's the basic platform of creativity and expression. Now we're really getting at the difference between a materialist and a spiritualist. Something beyond just using those words. We're really coming to grips with what those words mean. We're getting, by the grace of Bhagavad Gita, we're getting the analytical tools. Can you see that? Give me an example of matter experiencing something. To experience something, you need consciousness. Now, give me an example of matter experiencing.